Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, welcome back to OMF. Fourier, Tomasi, Glenn's off, Lou's off. It's just me. And now we got the front office report brought to you by Town Fair Tire and by Cumberland Farms, the official coffee of the Red Sox Radio Network. Now joining us now on the hotline is Tony La Russa. Tony, hi, how are you doing? You're on with Fourier and Tomasi.
Well, it all depends on the score of tonight's game, man. It's a very simple life.
Oh, that's it? It's tonight's game, that's all that matters?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I say, hey, we're feeling great and we get beat, then you don't feel great. And if you just wait and see. If we play the bottom of the ninth, if we get three outs and we win, it's been a really good day.
So it's been a good year for you then?
No, it's been a great year, man. It's been so much fun just watching these guys play because of the quality of the baseball. I mean, it's the entire package.
Yeah, so
doing a bit of it.
Yeah, so the entire package, but I feel like there's one part of that package that gets pushed around and gets bullied. More importantly, just I guess gets bullied by the media as far as the one red flag with this team, the one area of this team that could maybe stop them from winning a World Series, and that's the bullpen. I know you watch all the games, but pretty much all the games when you can with Dombrowski. Are you guys confident, or I guess more comfortable with the situation moving forward?
You know, what happens is that the analogy is like, the fans complain, well, we have the guy at third base, we never score with us two out because you're only watching your team. I mean, it's a problem for everybody at times. Everybody's bullpen at one time or another during a long season is going to have some breakdowns. But I think when you've seen our guys, and I think between Alex and Dana and Craig, they've worked hard to try and preserve the relievers. But normally by this time, you get mid-August into September, you got to be really careful because they're going to start getting a little heavy. And if the stuff is not crisp, then they become vulnerable. That's what I see. I see a lot of depth there. And, if we get them primed and rested into the hopefully the postseason, then I think we got an excellent bullpen.
Tony, you were known for your bullpens in Oakland, and not just Eck, but, the setup guys you had, Todd Burns, Honeycutt, all of those guys. When you were building a bullpen, what was the ideal composition in your mind? How did you want all the pieces to fit together?
Well, I think you needed some length. So, here's one of the real principles that, it's real obvious, but some people just, they skip it. And that is, if you have, say, you have your four top bullpen guys, maybe you're good left-hander or the guys that pitch the 7th, 8th, and 9th inning, the closer and two or three other guys, you really don't want those key guys to pitch innings that are not really critical. So if you're way ahead or way behind, anytime you're short in the bullpen, they have to pitch three outs or that's wasted pitches. So length in the bullpen, when you're having an injury to Price the other day, or if you have a case where, the game has gotten away, where you can finish the game, stay competitive because you've got a great offense, might jump into it, and only use up one or two pitchers. So the perfect, if you could have length, perfect as a righty and a lefty, and then you have some versatility in terms of your guy, where they're not just specialists, where you can leave a right-hander in there to face a left-hander because you can get them out and vice versa. And then obviously, to me, the closer is the most important part of the club because he's the only guy in uniform that if he has a great day, you guarantee a win.
And that was my next question. So Craig Kimbrell seems like he's struggling, I guess, scuffling. A lot of old guys like used to use that word. What is it that's going on with him that is just not allowing him to really finish these games out?
Yeah, I just think it's, it's like, the old line about even Sinatra had to clear his throat. It's such a fine line between the excellence and being very good, except as a closer, if you're very good where you just miss a location a bit against the wrong hitter, you give up a big hit or you miss a location and you walk a guy that turns into a run. He's healthy. When he has a little hiccup, they have an excellent way of, between Dana and Craig, they really know his mechanics and they get him on time. So I really believe if you think that Kimbrel is our problem, then we got no problems.
Have you seen something that you think is fixable just based on your eye test?
Yeah, I think just like everybody. I mean, these guys have been not machines. I mean, you didn't see Mookie. Mookie's had a great swing most every at bat, and every once in a while, he comes off the ball a little bit, or his swing gets a little long, and then you coach him and say, "Hey, then this is what's happening." And I think that's just what it is with, whether it's Craig or it's Barnes and Kelly, any of it just that's the value of coaching staff, man. They got to be able to get you back by tweaking you. Nobody just dramatically changes something and it becomes magic, But guys just need a tweak here and there, and we have the coaches that can do it.
Did Eck ever need any of that stuff? It seemed like when you had him, he was just untouchable year after year after year.
Well, that's a great question because, as you know, our great, great pitching coach, Dave Duncan, one of the things that made Eck great was that he had extensive experience as a starting pitcher. And he had gotten into the eighth and ninth inning, as you know, complete a game or had a one-run lead and had to get important outs. So what he had learned during a starter was, there's sometimes that maybe your fastball doesn't have quite as much life, and you know how to put a little on, take a little off, pitch off the middle of the plate. He knew when he could throw a slider for a strike and when he could, he had to bury it. And with Eck, it was more about just him understanding what he had that day. Most days, he was just pinpoint control with excellent stuff, but he could get out when he wasn't quite right because he had a great coach and he had that starter's experience.
Have you ever heard, I mean, this was with all due respect, because I was like, we were hanging out with, Chris Berman the other day. And Lou Maloney was in here. We were talking about nicknames. Have you ever heard Dennis Eckersley be called Dennis Upper Deckersley?
No, but I wish I'd heard it, man. I was using it a bunch of times. No, I never heard that. Is that what Chris called him?
Well, I'm not sure who actually coined the phrase. I don't because Berman's got all those one-liners, right? And so I don't know if Lou heard it or if Berman kind of co-signed on it or vice versa. But it's one of the best I've ever heard.
My question would be, who did the upper decking on him? That'd be the heck of I'd love to know.
Yeah, Gibson was no upper deck. That just made it. Do you have a favorite Eck story? We love Eckersley here. Is there any moment? We know his personality is out there. Do you have a favorite story?
Well, I gave my two favorites in terms of being complimentary. I just knew him as an opponent. We got him in Oakland the day we traded for him in spring of 87. Don Zimmer, Boston Red Sox, who's one of the greatest old-timers of all time, he called me. He said, "Let me tell you what you got with Eck." He said, "Number one, he will always be ready to pitch, to compete. Always. I don't care what game it is, you can pitch him at 10 o'clock in spring training." And that was true about Eck. He always knew that as a pitcher, he had the game in hand, and he was competing against that hitter. Never had an off day, an F moment. The other one was that he had a stand-up. He said, "Eck will never make an excuse." And that's what you see. Eck was not going to make an excuse. Both those things are, I think, really quality characteristics for a pitcher. My phone's ringing, so we just ignore it. But anyway, as far as fun, the thing I remember about Eck was he was so into and so responsible about getting those last three outs. That when he got them, you saw that little explosion of emotion. Not so little, but I got you. Which irritated the other side, but I saw the few times that it got away from him, and you see the suffering, the hurt, the embarrassment, and the whole club reached out to him in those times because you knew how sincere he was about being accountable for getting the win.
Kind of reminds you of Chris Sale a little bit, huh?
Exactly. A lot of, Chris, now being over here to watch him for a year, it's, a lot of stars, they act like stars in those corner of a clubhouse. Chris is right in among everything, outstanding teammate, pulls for everybody when he's not pitching. And when he pitches, it's all me, no excuses. We're lucky to have him.
There's a long list of responsibilities for any coach or any manager, but it seems like nowadays coaches and managers really, it's Instagram, Twitter, you're responsible for monitoring that. Do you ever look back and say and think just how lucky that you're not having to deal with these types of issues, which sometimes are just, there's no answer for it?
Well, it's a new kind of irritation, man. You know, distractions are the bane of any coach, because you can get, you know, either a player or a team on time mentally, you know, and fundamentally, and all of a sudden he gets distracted by something. And during the time that I managed, the distractions were usually, you know, guys think about fame and fortune instead of it comes at the end after you do your job. But nowadays, you know, I point, and, you know, to our local coach, Mr. Belichick. You know, he deals with that now, and just shows you, if you're a coach and you know what leadership's about, you know, there's certain things that are just not going to get in the way of how you play the game. And you just have to recognize that now social media, you know, it can be fun for a lot of things, but it can be a distraction, even harmful. And you just got to prioritize it and make sure it doesn't affect you.
How often do you use Bill and his strategy/philosophies when you come to giving recommendations to either Dombrowski or Cora?
You know, I think he's the best coach in any sport of any generation. I really think nobody has had to deal with as much. And, I mean, there are some great, great coaches in all sports, but I think Bill's the best. So there's the more I learn about him, the more I'm around him, you know, the more points come up that I would use. And now in this job of just kind of analyzing what's good and where we could get better, if Dave asked me, you know, Bill's a part of it, but, you know, I was around for a long time in baseball, and I had some, you know, some great old-time managers, Sparky and Billy and Earl and Gene and those guys, you know, Whitey, you know, Dick Williams, by the way, is, you know, I played for him, is one of the biggest influences of my life. Those guys are, you know, they're part of everything that I watch and what I learned. I mean, I never invented anything. It was all learned.
You talked about your playing career. I wanted to ask you. You had
No. I just not do that.
Don't no. Do that. Are you sure? You're one of the only people. What do you remember about your first hit? Because there's not many guys who can say they did what you did for the first hit.
Well, you know, up in the front office, they have this trivia. There are only three guys, age 18, have ever started a game in the major leagues, and they say the answer is two pearls and a turd. Pearl is Alex Rodriguez and Robin Yountin, and you know who the turd is. So my base hit was my second time up. The guy won 20 games. He was Steve Barber, and I scored the first pitch fastball 44 times and got 11 hits. So I hit a triple to right center in Kansas City.
Not too many triples. That's a first hit. That's pretty good.
Not many highlights either.
Well, we went combing through the box scores to find that one.
All right. Thanks, Tony. We appreciate you taking the time to join us. Good luck tonight and the rest of the season.
All right, man. Enjoyed it. Thank you.
All right, Tony La Russa. I got one thing to say. He's a good dude. I love the, you know, comparison. But did you pick up on this? Because it was funny as hell to me.
You got a real laugh at him. Listen to this.
Dennis Upper Deckersley. He snorted.
He did.
He snorted.
That is a legitimate laugh. That is not a fake radio laugh. That was a real laugh.
He had to think about it for a second and go, wait a second. Dennis, wait, what?
Is this worth laughing at?
Dennis Upper Deckersley.
He liked it. He liked it. That means job well done by the host.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.